everyone. Welcome to Me, What Great Managers Do. And today we have a very special guest. Murray Guest is the guest. And Murray is down in Australia, and he got up extra early this morning to be on the podcast and share his thoughts with all of us. And one of the things I, when I was reading about Murray, was that he and I have a couple of our top fives. Those of you who are into the coaching world of StrengthFinder know about your top five and your signature themes. And Murray is a relator, futuristic, individualization, communication, and responsibility. And he's also runs the InspireMyBusiness.com and InspireMyBusiness.com. Excuse me there. And so I'm really excited to talk to him because he and I have similar backgrounds in coaching and speaking and facilitating and consulting. So it's like talking to your long lost cousin because you're so close. So welcome, Murray, and glad to have you with us.
Jen, thank you so much. That was a beautiful introduction. I really appreciate that. And I have enjoyed our conversation already before we started recording. And as you said, connecting so easily. I love what I do. So getting up early is not a problem. I'm definitely a person that loves to have conversations about the type of work that you and I do and other coaches. And so getting up at this time in the morning and having this conversation with you is a great way to start the day. And as you said, my company is called Inspire My Business. And that's because I started 5 years ago and thinking about what it is that I really want to do. And it's to have those partnerships with clients, with leaders, and with teams to help create a culture where people feel inspired to go to work, where they feel maybe they're not bounding out of bed every morning and jumping out for joy, but certainly they're not dragging their feet to work. Whatever the industry is, that they are inspired to be there and inspired to make a difference and to get involved. And so that's where Inspire My Business came from. And I love partnering with leaders who really care about their people. And so your podcast about what great managers do just connected with me so much as well, because they play such an important role in the culture and the impact on people's lives. And I'm sure today in this conversation, I can share stories of some of those great managers and not so great managers I've either worked with or experienced. And I'm sure that, Jen, you've had some of those in your career as well.
Absolutely. I can tell you a name and address almost by some of them. Those some that you never want to be in a lifeboat with and those that you never want to leave. And, it works both ways. And you're absolutely right because when I talk to business leaders myself and I go into their businesses and I say, I don't have to say a word. I can just watch it. I can tell you how about your employees and I can tell you those that, who are coming to work because they have to. And I said, what we're going to change, what we work on is getting your employees to want to come to work, not because they have to, because they want to. And that's where the magic sauce is when employees want to be there. And as you said, because they want to be part of whatever the organization does. So you and I, again, are on the same page on that.
And I was just going to say, you're exactly right. I mean, you can sense and you can see in the behaviors of a team or an organization when there is that desire and that drive to be there, to show up and make a difference versus I'm dragging my feet to work. And I can see it. Let's imagine when we go to the grocery store and someone's there and they're just scanning your items through the checkout, and you can tell whether or not they want to be there. And in that interaction, in that small moment, that influences, I think, how we feel. And also, do we even feel like going back to that grocery store again? And then if you take that example to a larger team in a business somewhere and people are feeling like that, that impacts how people are going to interact and how productive they are. And managers play such an important role. And a point I say to all the leaders I work with is no factor influences the culture more than leadership. Yep. And then we start to unpack that, because once we get the agreement around the table that's all, yes, we all salute to that, we agree to that. So then how are we currently making sure that we're influencing the culture we want to, and what does that look like?
Yeah, you are absolutely correct. And I was kind of on that topic this morning. I was talking to a potential new client this morning, and I came across they have an internal sales force, and I had come across an artificial intelligence software that can help improve the performance of these internal salespeople. And it's, I don't want to get into the artificial intelligence of it because I don't know how it all works behind the ropes anyway. But I sent a small video of it in action to the vice president of finance. She said, "Wow, this is really great, Jen." She said, "I'm sending it to our IT wonk and to our marketing person. And I also sent it to the president." Everybody loved it. The president comes back and says, "Wonderful. But I don't think we have the leaders that can manage it or to develop it or to do it. They don't have people in place in management roles to grow." And I said, I was stunned. This business is making money and they have just run to the end of their rope, if you will, their runway. And they're going to have to, develop some new managers and new talents around those people. And I haven't had the conversation with them yet, but I've got to think about what I'm going to say to them next week when I talk to him again. I said, "In a nice way, you're running on a runway." And so if you think about it, but
I guess what I'm thinking too, the good in that is that they are realizing, and that president has said, hang on, we can't just implement this new system or this piece of technology if we don't have the people to support it.
Correct.
And that's where I think, and maybe this is what you do, Jen, is that's where you go in and I'm going to help you develop those people or that leadership to deliver on that piece of technology.
That's where we're headed, and I just got to figure out how to get to that. The little backstory of this is the vice president of finance of that company is my sister-in-law. And it's a logistics company that's making money, and I did some work for them about 10 years ago, and I haven't been in their building for 10 years, but I sent her the thing. I said, "Yeah, that might be something you're interested in." And so that's a little backstory. I got to have a conversation with my sister-in-law and say, "Sweetheart, dear." we got to talk about that.
Yeah, got you.
Yeah, I see here that you have a program you call "Are You a Leader Who Gives a Damn?" And that's, so tell me about that, or tell your audience about being that program.
So there's a coach in the US who's based in Phoenix. Her name is Becky Hammond, and her company is Asogo Strong. And Becky and I have been to all of the Clifton Strength Summits. And we were at the first Clifton Strength Summit in Omaha back in 2015. And we happened to meet on one of the hotel shuttle buses, and we connected. It was one of those serendipitous moments where we both started chatting and have remained friends since. And since that initial meeting, we have collaborated on podcasts and different blogs that we have worked on. And Becky has a very much thriving business in Phoenix, but also a thriving family. She's got four children, about to have a fifth child as well. So she's certainly a busy woman. But we got talking about what we were so passionate about around leadership. And we then actually developed a program around seven leadership conversations. And it was around the seven core elements that we saw of leaders that care about the people, leaders that make a difference. And Jan, I'll be really honest, we then wrestled for a good few hours of brainstorming. It was a whole afternoon, to be honest, of what are we going to call this thing? And I won't share some of the names because when you're brainstorming, you throw all these names out there, like people leadership maybe, or human focused leadership. And we're throwing all these names out there to try and come up with, what are we trying to get to? What is the bit that we are trying to say? And we then had this name pop out when you collaborate, which is a beautiful thing about working together, which was Leaders Who Give a Damn. And these are leaders that make a difference, leaders that really care about their people. And it sort of, it was a bit, oh, a bit abrasive. It's got damn in it as a word. And we thought, well, is that what we want to land on? And because we had this emotional reaction to it, we said, yes, we do. This is it. And so from that, we then developed an online quiz where you can, it's a free quiz on our website of leaderswhogiveadamn.com, where you can complete a series of questions, and it just gives you some feedback, a report, and some suggested actions about where you are on the leadership scale around being a leader who gives a damn. The other element we also did is we went out to a whole range of coaches and leaders that we knew and said, what is it that makes a leader who gives a damn? How do they make you feel? What do they do day in, day out? What are some of their behaviors? And we then got back a huge list of all these little elements that make up a leader who gives a damn. And we then distilled that down, and the number it finished at was 90. It was 90 behaviors of leaders who give a damn. And why is it 90 and not 50 or 103? That's just what we distilled it down to. And again, if you go to leaderswhogiveadamn.com, you can download this free infographic of the 90 behaviors. And no, we're not expecting anyone to sit there and tick them all off and to try and demonstrate all 90 behaviors all the time or every day. That's just not what it's about. It's about just being a resource sheet where you might think, okay, today, what am I going to focus on, or where's my attention, or what's a strategy I might use, and using it as a reference tool to help you in your leadership role, whatever it is that you're doing. And we've had feedback from people that say, yeah, that might open up in the morning or share it in a team meeting and go, okay, how are we going on this one or another one, such as having real authentic feedback conversations or really understanding how people are feeling and checking in on them. So that's what it's all about. And I think it links beautifully, Jan, to what you and I are passionate about. And it's about those leaders and managers that truly care about their people.
Right.
And want to demonstrate that, and not just demonstrate it because they're ticking a box and how they're perceived, but it's part of their DNA and what they do day in, day out. And I've had a manager that I reference in the program, and he was the CEO of a company. Our site had about, I think it was 1,150 people, and a big industrial site. And this CEO, I remember he said to me early on when I was there, and I worked there for about 5 years, he said to me, he said, Murray, my job is just to do two things. He said, it's to care and challenge. And I looked at him and I said, well, what do you mean? He said, I care for everyone. I care for their safety. I care that they're okay. I care that they're happy. And I care that their family is well as well. He said, I care for them. And on the other side, and he put one hand out, then the other hand out, and he said, I challenge people to do their job well, to do it better, and look at ways to improve what we do, improve our systems, improve our processes. He said, that's all I do is care and challenge. Mm-hmm. And I just reflect on that about such a great example of a leader who gives a damn.
Yep. I can relate very, very well to that. One of the things I wrote actually two, but one was Be the Manager People Won't Leave. Then it was done very well on Amazon, made it to the top tier of that. But in there, I talked exactly about that point, Marie, and about caring. And I used the phrase, I said, if you care, if your employees know that you truly care about them as people, they'll walk through fire for you. If they believe that you care less about them, they will let you walk off a cliff. And that resonates. I've seen managers where their employees just let them walk off a cliff. They could save them, help them out, but when you don't care about the employees, they're not going to care about you. And my experience is when managers care about their employees, like your CEO did, they outperform industry you're in, the average, because they want to be where you are. They don't want to let you down or the organization down. And it's I've had employees who, when I told them I was leaving, they were crying and they said, can we come with you? When you get an opening, call us. And so it was my own personal experience with, I still hear from some of those people on my different teams and so forth, some years gone by, who say, I still miss you. You're the one I learned the most from. And so when you care about employees, you'll get it back in spades.
And I had a similar experience. I led a team about 15 years ago, and my position was made redundant, and it was a good thing at the time because it put me on the trajectory that I went on to around personal development and training and being a coach and a facilitator. So that opportunity that came out of that was great for me. But when I was saying my goodbyes to my team, there was a lady that, again, similar to your story, Jen, she had tears. She didn't just have tears in her eyes, they were rolling down her face. And she gave me this huge hug and said, thank you. And I reflect on, we had some very tough conversations at time where I was giving her some really strong constructive feedback around her performance, where there was things that she wasn't doing that needed to be done in her role. And I actually thought at times that she was going to leave because I thought, you know, I was maybe a little tough on her. But when I was leaving the organization and in this hug, she said to me, thank you so much for helping me to learn and grow and be a better person. And I think that's an important thing, that being that leader that others want to follow isn't just about having the nice, soft conversations. It's about really supporting them and helping them grow. And the beautiful thing is I bumped into this lady 10 years later in a shop, and she threw her arms around me and said, hello, I haven't seen you for so long. How are you? How's your children? And it was so beautiful that that was still there. And I think, yeah, I guess what I'm saying, Jen, is it's not just about those easy conversations. It's, as a manager, people want to follow. They do also respect the robust and the respectful to challenging conversations as well.
Yeah, because they realize that you're doing it because it's in their best interest. Not because you want to be a hard, you know, SOB, but because you care about them and you want them to do well. And so, you know, some of those hard conversations, you know, I've always found it, you know, I can look in the mirror in the morning when you have to have one of those conversations as a manager. So, you know, 70% of our self-talk is negative. And so you can have all these negative conversations with yourself. But when you know, kind of script it out and you go in and have those conversations, they've all turned out, for the most part, better than I had, you know, what I thought I was going to dread or whatever, never come about, because when they knew it was in their best interest, they wanted it to work with us or work with me and have a positive outcome.
I was coaching a leader yesterday, this lady, and she said to me, Murray, I've realized I'm not perfect and that's okay. And I was like, hallelujah, I think that is fantastic. And I said to her, I said, do you know that nobody's perfect? And everybody is doing the best they can. And that mindset of thinking that you or someone else is perfect just puts you in a situation where you can't improve and you can't get better. And she said, I've just realized that. And this is through our coaching, which was, it lit me up because she had been struggling with this idea of perfection. And I think, again, around leaders who are true and vulnerable and understand that we are all doing the best we can and having those conversations as best we can and being that authentic self, that's what people want to see. That's the person someone wants to follow.
Yep, you're absolutely right. I always tell young managers, if you're that manager when that people want to be with, when you have an opening because of the reputation that you've built around the building, if you will, you are recruiting the best people in the organization who want to be part of your team. You know, all the A players want to be where you are. He said, that's a good place to be. And so there's a lot of upsides for being that manager that people want to work with. That's okay to know that you care about them as a person. Absolutely. So there's a lot of wins in that, not only for the individuals, but for the managers and frankly for the organizations as well.
And just to sort of wrap this little bit up, Jen, there's a point I wrote down earlier I want to make sure we cover, and just very quickly, something I think about, and I'm going to get your book because I certainly would love to read that now that you've brought that up. And the point I wanted to raise, which may be in your book, is what I really think leaders who who give a damn, leaders who make a difference and people want to follow, is they take action sooner.
Yes.
And I think so often in the busyness of being in a management role, a leadership role, whatever it is, in the managing of the processes, the systems, and all of the projects and tasks, they're not taking action sooner around giving people feedback, having those conversations, checking in, having the one-on-ones, and stopping and having that really present conversation. And I would say that's the difference. About, yeah. If there's one thing that I often say to people, it's about actually taking action sooner.
Yeah. One of the things that I had people ask me about, what's the best management book to ever read? I always say that probably, and it still is, that one of the standards is First Break All the Rules, and it was written by Gallup. And I'm actually was interviewed for the database of that book back in the 90s, but it was in there. They talk about feedback is the breakfast of champions. Do it a lot. Positive feedback grows, negative feedback stifles. And walking around and telling people good job and letting them be engaged and doing the job their way and those kinds of things have immense that. I was just reading, I don't know if you've read the Gallup book, you know, it's The Manager, but in there they talk about the manager who gives feedback to their employees on a weekly basis are 3.5 times more productive employees are than the managers who give no feedback.
I agree on both those books, Jen. They're powerful books, and I've actually just sent a copy of It's the Manager to a number of my clients because it's such a great resource. And that statistic just it makes sense, doesn't it? It just makes sense.
To you and I, it's well, duh, that makes sense. But to the, I've been in seminars where I'm teaching to a class or whatever on an on-site or in an organization or whatever, and I say that to managers, and I get these deer eyes coming back at me. And then, you know, as we go along, they'll find, okay, they'll finally, you know, kind of get it. But you know, sometimes they don't. The trouble is, a lot of managers don't get feedback like that from their bosses.
And yeah,
it's not modeled phones. And as I say, when I was interviewed on a television show, we're still managing people like it's 1950, post Second World War, command and control. And the younger workers in around the world, it's not just the United States or Australia, want to have a coach, not a boss. And they want they'll work for a coach and they'll want to help me out and help me be better, develop my talents, those kinds of things. And so it's, the world has changed, and you know, the millennials can leave you because their earning expectations are in line with the market. And if they don't like your culture anymore, they will not stay. And so it's one of those things that you work with, you know, with organizations, is having teams of people who want to be there. Feedback is a lot of that. Caring about your employees is a cornerstone of it. And it is.
So two things I just want to quickly say around feedback. Someone said to me many years ago, the golden rule of feedback is if you're prepared to give it, be prepared to receive it.
Yes.
And I totally agree with that. The second thing is, quite often when I'm talking to leaders about providing feedback, I hear this notion that, oh, so we give 5 positive to 1 negative, and I've got to balance that out. And I say, just forget all of that calculation. I said, just create a culture where you are giving positive feedback when it is due, and you're giving constructive feedback when it's needed, and stop trying to be some leader who's following a textbook that needs to balance out the positive and the negative. Just create a feedback culture where it's safe and people want to hear that feedback.
And if you can do it on a weekly basis or when right immediately after somebody does something wonderful, that's when you know it has the most influence. Give somebody a feedback, say, you know, Murray, last April I remember you did a really wonderful thing on that project. Well, that's totally worthless because the employee doesn't even remember what they did last April. And so the immediacy of it is important as well. You're right.
It's like the coach of the football team saying, do you remember in game one at the start of the season when you did that thing?
Yeah.
And the player's going, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Absolutely. So, Murray, we're closing in here over 20 some minutes, and I promised you we would not keep you, so you can go have your cup of tea or whatever this morning. And But I do want anything else that you want to talk about or mention before we close out this section?
Oh, I guess the other really thing that, and this is one that comes up quite a lot for me with clients I work with, and I'd love for your leaders and your listeners just to consider this. One of the biggest challenges I see in the people I work with is the lack of clarity. And what I often am helping leaders do is where they can bring more clarity into their organizations and their teams. And that looks like feedback that we just talked about. So clarity in expectations, clarity in performance, clarity in the plan, clarity in where we're going and how we're going to get there. So I just see so much of what is a challenge for teams and leaders that falls into that notion of not enough clarity.
Right.
And I see it, well, actually not just in workplaces, but in, you know, in homes and in families and things like, because when there's a lack of clarity, that creates a feeling of uneasiness, and then maybe I'm not safe and I don't know what's happening. And so then that impacts how I'm feeling, which then impacts my outputs and my performance. So what I actually would invite people to consider is definitely just take the moment and think, where can I provide more clarity to my people I lead or the people I work with to reduce any of that sense of uneasiness? And that's about maybe having some conversations and sitting down and even asking, where do you need more clarity in your work and the work that we're doing? And just listen to that answer and then see where you can provide that, and it will make a world of difference.
You, my friend, are right on target, because expectations or clarity in the roles and so forth is crucial. Most managers or organizations don't do what you just said. So you're right on it. So folks, this is Murray Guest from Australia, a couple hours north of Sydney, and he is the owner of Inspire My Business. And Murray, thank you so much for taking time out of your morning to spend a few moments with us and letting people from around the world get to know you.
Oh, Jan, I honestly appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. I love your wisdom, and I can hear that in everything you're saying. There's a wealth of knowledge, and I've loved the chance to chat, and I do hope we get to do it again sometime in the future, and I do hope to see you next time I'm in the US as well. And thank you again. I really appreciate the chance just to connect and to share with someone that's like-minded and cares about people the way we do. So thank you so much.